Welcome to Ant on the Move. Today's podcast is going to be a little bit different than podcasts we've done before. We're going to do some book reviews. I'm going to have a guest on the show as well. So stay tuned for the show. And I don't know if I have any intro music, so something will happen right here. And then we'll go on to the rest of the show. So for those of us who are travelers, something that tends to be common among many travelers is the love of reading. And whether you're at a beach resort, you're at the airport, you're on the plane, you're on a boat, there's a lot of time to do some reading. And so I want to talk a little bit about books today. So I'm going to start with talking about a series that I'm currently reading. It's called The Herringford and Watts Mysteries by Rachel McMillan. I've read the first book. It's called The Bachelor's Guide to Murder, which sounds kind of ominous when you think about it, but it's not that bad. So it's about Miranda Herringford and Jim Watts, who are two single ladies in London. In Toronto, I apologize. They are in Toronto and they start doing detective work. There's, of course, romantic interest in the story. But these two, they launch their business surrounding the deaths of several young Irish women in the town. And so it includes kind of the underworld of Toronto as well. It's supposed to be along the lines of like Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. To be honest, it was a little bit hard to get into the story. You're kind of thrown into the middle of the story in the first chapter. The first words are like, a murder scene, there's no place for a proper lady. And you just suddenly get thrown into this crime scene. And it was a little, I'll be honest, it was a little difficult for me to get enthralled in at first. I had to keep going back. You're thrown in with so many characters at the beginning of the story that it was a tad confusing for me, but I liked the style, the idea of following Arthur Conan Doyle's style with Sherlock Holmes and Mr. Watson, because Miranda Herringford, she's kind of supposed to be like Miranda Herringford, she's supposed to be like Sherlock Holmes. She's not quite as intelligent, but she's very observant. She notices things. She's very good at disguises. And kind of not being a proper lady, let's put it that way. And so she fits perfectly as your counterpart to Sherlock Holmes, where Jim Watts is very much like Dr. Watson, a little bit more not observant as Miranda is, and has other things going on that distract her. She actually has a job, whereas Miranda doesn't. So it makes it very interesting to read about. So it's good similarities between. But again, still, it was very hard for me to get into the first book. I have the second book, which is called The White Feather Murders. I'm going to read it, but I'm not sure if I will keep the book. It's just a little hard to get into. There are several other books. Oh, this is actually the fifth book, I think. Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's like 6 books, it looks like, all together. A Single and Whimsical Problem, which is an ebook-only novella. The Bachelor's Guide, Girl's Guide to Murder, of Dubious and Questionable Memory. A Lesson in Love and Murder, Conductor of Light, and The White Feather Mystery. So this is actually like the last one in the series. So this happens a bit later. First book I read started in 1910. This one's now in 1914. So it takes a different turn now, moving into World War I. So it looks interesting. I'm going to read it. I'm confident I'm going to read it. Yeah, but it may take a little while to get through it. It's like normally I can start a book and I just run with it. Just I'm into it, totally interested, especially if it's a book by like Tracy Peterson's, Laurie Wick, Arthur Conan Doyle, several other authors, Jane Austen. They just pull you into the story. There's books that I've read that I have enjoyed, but it was really hard to get into, like books by G.A. Hinty or some academic books. They're a little tougher style to get into. Very informative, very interesting, but hard to get your mind wrapped around. But that's currently what I'm reading. And so it's interesting, but yeah, like I said, a little tough to get into. But if you're interested, check her out. Her name is Rachel McMillan. It's the Herringford and Watts Mysteries. If I have a link to it, I'll try to insert that in the show notes. You can find that either on Amazon or wherever, or I'll at least put the title of the books and the author's name in the description of the podcast. I was going to say article, but this is a podcast. All right. So with that being said, I'm going to have a guest come on here as soon as I go find him. We're going to talk about some books that he has read recently by one of his favorite authors. And we're going to talk about that when we continue with Ant on the Move podcast. All right, so I found my guest. This actually my brother, Bear, from the Combustion Guys podcast. And he's recently been reading some books. I think have you read all of them in the series?
Yes, I've actually read all
he's
of them.
He's actually read all of them. Yeah. I haven't read this series of books yet, but he's read all
he's
of them. And so he's going to,
too.
He's got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 books.
And there's another series he's done as well.
Yeah. Oh, great. And he's going to talk about the books that he's read. So, Bear, first tell us a little bit about the author of the books.
Right. So, Craig Parshall, he's a former attorney. He's gone before. Let me see. I think there's a bio in one of these.
I'll
make sure I get all this. Yeah.
He's done this before.
Yeah, Craig
the Supreme
Parshall
Court.
Is a highly successful lawyer from the Washington, D.C. area who specializes in cases involving civil liberties, religious freedom. He is also the frequent spokesperson for conservative values in mainstream and Christian media, along with his wife, Janet, who also has an excellent radio show. Really enjoy her political perspective and what's going on in Washington. It's pretty interesting to listen to. He's co-authored several books. He's also been before the U.S. Supreme Court, and he has written quite a few books as well, and even book series. So, really cool guy, interesting perspective, both into the law, religious theory, and other stuff like that. Really, really good to kind of read up on.
Very good. Very so, we have one series of books here that has 5 books in it. Could be other ones, but for sure we have 5 of them.
Yes.
It's called Chambers of Justice. So tell us a little bit about the series Chambers of Justice. Does it follow the same person throughout?
Yes,
or what
correct.
Happens?
So in most of his books, he always almost follows a attorney because the attorney is kind of just kind of gets mixed up in all these different things. But in Chambers of Justice, you have a attorney named Will Chambers, and multiple things go on. Because, let me see, I forget, there's some kind of villain that's throughout almost all of it, and
okay,
it's very
so it's
fascinating.
Like the same villain. That makes it fun.
There's a giant guy, he's got tons of money, and he's working together with the Muslim Brotherhood and all those wonderful evil organizations to try and take over the world's oil supply for his own personal gain. So, pretty big stuff going on, and also trying to destroy Israel all at the same time. Is what the one guy's doing. So you get that plot all the way through the books, but each book has an individual...
So it stands alone.
Yeah, it stands alone by itself, but all of those details of the main scheme that's going on is through each one. You get a piece of it all the way through. So it's very interesting to read through that. So the first book in this series is called The Resurrection File, which is where we really start off with the big... scheme that's going on with the millionaire and his minions, and how the Will Chambers gets mixed up into the entire plot.
Sure.
Because the main part of this is, I believe it's defamation of character, I believe
makes
is
sense.
What the case is that he gets involved into is what it's about. And what happens is that it's his uncle, I believe, or someone he's related... No. It's someone he's totally unrelated to until later on in the series. Then he becomes a native. But anyways...
Gotcha. One of those things in the story.
Yeah, one of those stories. So anyways, but this guy, he's been writing a magazine, self-published for the most part, but has quite a few subscriptions and other stuff. And he was questioning some archaeological work done by another person in the field. And that person, who is also in the back scenes, being controlled by the big evil guy, is suing him for defamation because his work which is later found out to be false. Because, well, I don't know really why, but it is false. I forget that part of the plot
gotcha.
But anyways, but it is false and is suing to try and make sure that his findings in the field of archaeology are made as fact to
right,
be able
exactly.
to obtain a greater purpose. But
gotcha.
Anyways, so
that's kind of the main story.
That's
of
the
that
main storyline okay. of the Resurrection File in the Craig Parshall okay. series of
then
Chains
we move
of Justice.
On to Custody of
Custody
the State.
Of the
book
State.
Two.
Now this one we get we don't get a whole lot of the big picture scheme. We get a little snippets, but not a whole lot.
Just a little bit farther removed from the big scheme.
Correct. So in this one, it deals with child custody. And so whether or not the state has the right to take away a child from a parent because they believe that the parent's views or how they teach them, train them,
right.
If they have a right to do that, or the state should take the child away because they think that the parents are being inhumane to the
gotcha,
child
gotcha.
By causing them to be taught in this particular way.
So kind of each book has, it's you know, a story within a story, but then
correct.
There's also like one main
yes,
judicial
the one judicial
theme
case
throughout
the one book.
Okay,
exactly.
That makes it interesting.
So, yeah,
so that way you can kind of get a condensed
mm-hmm.
idea of how that, you know, how those cases are tried,
right.
what's involved in those cases. That's
and
very
he always,
interesting.
Also, with these books, too, he always takes the part of the defense.
Okay.
So, I mean, he does a very good job of showing both sides. Also, he also tries to show that sometimes with prosecution, you also have the corruption that's going on there
yeah.
as well. The pressure from the higher-ups trying to make things fit, which I understand happens. It doesn't happen all the time, of course.
Right.
But just to fit within the book series, that's how he does it and shows how those situations happen, which
very
is
good.
Very interesting to read. So, anyways, obviously, child... getting taken away from his mother, and I forget the exact cause, but very interesting book, which we also meet a character in this series, because I believe it takes place in Georgia, actually.
Oh, sure.
So we meet a potential character for the next book,
uh-huh.
and this is Custody of the State, which is really good to read, very interesting about the child custody law and stuff like
very
that.
Cool. And then moving on to book three, we
right.
talk about
the
accused. Now, is that referring to the main character himself, is he being accused, or is it?
This is in this book we get another story behind the story.
Ooh,
so we get more of the bigger scheme, but we also get Will Chambers' motivation. Now I believe
okay.
at this point, he is married. At this point, I believe.
Okay.
So now that person that he did in the defamation case work for him, he's now married to that guy's daughter. At
oh,
this point.
Fun.
Yeah. So anyways, but yeah, so in The Accused, you start off in Mexico, actually, because you have a lot of gangs down there, and an American senator, well, not maybe a senator, but a representative of the American embassy and his family have been taken hostage.
Oh.
And during that, and this is all ground laying to try and get you into the story before Will Chambers actually gets onto the scene.
Oh,
and
okay.
So
it's kind of like that, all that leads up, and then you kind of come in with
and
him.
And then you come in with
okay.
him.
That's an interesting
so you get the preface, and then you get where Will Chambers is, and the story
in
picks
the story.
Up with
gotcha.
Him from there. So, anyways, this American guy representing somehow, he's somewhere in the government. And with his family down in Mexico, they've been taken captive, so the special black ops go in to rescue him, and by the time I'll skip that.
I'm not going to give too much away
because you need to read this
book.
It's really good. It's really good.
Overview.
But anyways, the special forces, they go in and they try and take out the guys who are rescuing the family. They do not succeed, end up blowing
that's
up the
too
house
much.
And everybody.
You gave it
No. This is very it's very interesting. There's a bigger plot to this, okay?
Okay.
There's a bigger plot. So everybody dies. Okay? That they were trying to rescue.
That's
and
too
so that's
much.
Kind of weird. No.
Well, I know,
it's
but
not.
For me, that's too much because
now
I'm like, I don't want to read the book because the people die in it.
Right, but there's a big plot.
I know. But you're telling me that. It's like, okay, I know what's going to happen then. So
no,
it's
you
like,
don't. No, you don't.
Well, I can take a guess as to which direction it goes. It's like, okay, now you have to understand, Bear and I, when we watch movies, especially like mysteries, like,
We've been watching
Endeavor, which is a forerunner of the British TV show, Morse. Morse
actually,
came out first, but this is like going before
right.
when
it's
Morse
time
is younger.
Before.
Yeah. But it's called Endeavor. And so we'll be watching this, and I can tell about midway through, generally, who the bad guy is, what's going to happen, what happened, who did it. And Bear, like, at the end, is like, wow, that was amazing. He's like, dude, you could have figured it out within, like, the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm usually very excited like, about what I'm thinking.
And he's like, really? Oh. So, like, with the book, he's telling me the synopsis, and I'm like, okay. And then he's telling me, yeah, but there's more. I'm like, okay, well, I can figure out which way it's going then. I can take a guess.
Really?
I'm not going to say, because I could be wrong.
Okay, there's a total, because now we're going to get a little further into it. So, anyways,
back to the book.
One of the guys involved with the Black Ops, he's been accused by the United Nations court.
Okay.
For something. Cool. We don't really know what that something is.
Because
there's other stuff that happens after the Black Ops find out that everybody's dead. Because they blew the place up.
Okay.
Well, so there's more that goes on afterwards.
We need to go ahead. We understand there's some intrigue in this book. We need to move on to the next book.
But anyways, he ends up representing that guy in the court. And so the big guy comes in trying to make sure that defense fails. Because he wants America to look 100% bad.
Okay.
Because he wants to get control of Mexico's oil.
Okay. So we get the idea of that book. Now,
but then also during that
defense. Moving on to the next.
No, this is just about Will Poston.
He dropped the books.
No, you made me
try. Well, it wasn't going to sit there on top of my phone like that.
Whatever.
But move on. So we know that the third book is very, a lot of intrigue, a lot of things going on.
And Will Chambers, we found out some backstory of Will Chambers
and
as well.
Backstory about because him as
Because he
well.
Has to decide whether to trust people to be able to get his defense to where he needs to be. And he has to overcome some inner turmoil to be able to do that.
Very good.
Very interesting.
Now that book kind of is almost spoiled for me because there's too much intrigue that he's given me. I guess I'll have to read these now.
There's so much that goes on there. I mean, more people die. I mean, it's excellent.
See? Spoiler.
But you don't know who! You don't even know half the characters in the book. I've only given you two.
Now, you have to understand that Bear had me listen to driving through Georgia and the hills of Tennessee and into Virginia. He had me listen to the story Monster by Frank Peretti.
Oh, it's beautiful.
But he'd already told me things that happened in the story. So,
because you kept asking because you couldn't stand that.
Well, no, even before we'd gotten in the car. And so before we went on this trip, so he was telling me things that had happened. So I'm listening just, I was like, okay, that's going to happen. Okay, that happened. And of course there were other little things. This story is so suspenseful. It's like, I wouldn't have ever watched a movie like this. I'm not sure why I listened to this story.
Oh, I kind of would if they would make a movie of it. It would be.
Oh, I'd be so creeped out. Okay. Like, the movie that we watched last night was creepy.
I bet they would mess it up, but I mean, I think it would be awesome.
So, you know, him giving stuff away is like, okay, well, now I know what happens there. I know what
happens there.
So it kind of ruins things.
But did you
a
know who the monster
bit.
Was at the end, though? Did you
yes.
actually know? You did?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I'm not stupid. I can figure things out. I told you, I can figure out a movie before you do. Okay, moving on quickly to the fourth book and fifth book in the series.
Yes, anyways, then we get Missing Witness. So this is kind of where we take a break from the big giant scheme that's going on. So this is kind of...
So like the second and fourth book kind of take a break from the main grand scheme.
Yeah,
okay, interesting.
But what it does is each of these books gives you a introduction to a character that will come up in the next book. So like two, you get a main character of who's going to come into book three.
Okay,
and then
cool.
with book four, you get also meet a character who will be very pivotal in book five,
gotcha.
Which is
very
the
cool.
final book.
Interesting.
So anyways, but in this one, you have a guy who's a bunch of treasure hunting off of the coasts. I forget exactly what coast it is. It seems like it's Virginia or
that makes
South
sense.
Carolina.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
one of those. It's one of those Carolinas or
a lot
Virginia.
Of pirates of and things up that way.
But yeah, but a lot of treasure hunting type guys. Somebody gets killed and somebody's accused of it.
Of course, typically happens.
And so then he's on vacation with his wife, so he's kind of annoyed. He doesn't want to take the case on and all that stuff. But finally, she gets him up to the point of taking on the case.
Gotcha.
But all of that also leads to an even farther back thing, which will then also become very pivotal to the Last Judgment, which is the final book. This one's called Missing Witness.
Interesting.
So, and this is, yeah, so... Somebody dies, and the point, so what he has to do is he has to go all the way back to a giant pirate story that happened many, many years before, to be able to get the defense of what happened with his client, actually.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. And then also one of the characters who's related to one of the characters from the pirate story shows up in The Last Judgment, which is the final book. Very confusing, but amazing all at the same time.
That is not confusing. All right, and then The Last Judgment, this is the final book in the series.
This is the climax.
Kind of draws it all to a close.
Yeah.
What's the time difference, like age difference between book one and book five, would you guess?
I'd say...
Or like how many years?
I'm not really sure how many... Well...
Because he's gotten married for sure during it. So there's at least a few years in between.
From book four to book five, there's definitely at least a 3 to 5 year difference, because then they have a child at that point.
Okay.
And he's five in the book.
Okay.
Or somewhere in that age range.
We would
range.
Assume that there might be like these books over like the span of maybe 10 years at the most, or maybe minimum.
Yeah, the first four books, I wouldn't put it over 4 years difference, but then you have a giant leap with The Last Judgment,
where they
have a child at that point,
and
also the big creepy guy comes back with all his money to destroy Israel and everything else.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Very good. So that's enough of
the last
recount of the
okay.
Last Judgment.
Are you sure?
That'll be perfect. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, we'll leave that. And then you have two other books. Are these both standalones?
These are standalone books.
So talk about the Occupy. This is, I think, his newest one, right?
Yes, the newest one that he's done a standalone. So,
and what is the basic gist of the... It's called The Occupied, a Trevor Black novel by Craig Parshall.
Correct.
What is that one about?
So this is a story taken from the perspective of a very big trial attorney called Trevor Black. So in other words, it's him telling the story, kind of narrating stuff
like
that.
Oh, so it's like a first-person story.
It's a first-person... Yeah, so you do get him somewhat. I mean, it really does a good job of not being all narration.
Okay.
But it does get you that point that he is narrating to some extent.
Okay. Very
so,
cool.
Anyways,
very cool.
But
it's
very,
always fun.
Very well put together. And so he's in New York. And what happens is there's a bunch of gruesome murders that happen. And what he finds out is that it all spawned back all the way back to his childhood, actually, where these murders came from. And so it ends up that all these murders go back to his hometown. Then he has to go all the way back to figure out where all of this started.
Wow, that's
and honestly, The Occupied is more of a spiritual book, so it's not all physical stuff. So it's there's a lot of...
So more like Frank Peretti's style of books.
Yes, more horror, more of a spiritual warfare that's going on in this particular book. So,
gotcha.
Very interesting book. Really, it's not as much of a trial book, like not as much trial context as he has with The Last Judgment and also with this next book we're going to talk about. It's more of a attorney who knows the law but has gone over to being like his own self-employed private eye type person.
Okay.
Is kind of how The Occupied works. So
gotcha.
You get a bit of trial, but really not much of it. It's really more to do with freedom of information to a private investigator who's a police...
Gotcha. Okay.
What is it? Police something.
Detective or investigator?
No, because he's a... What is it? Independent investigator for the police, so he's not...
Kind of like a private eye almost.
Yeah, but he's kind of working with the police per se.
Interesting.
Which is very interesting how all of that then works with the law as well.
Very good. And then the last book you brought, and we should mention, I have Craig Parshall's website up. It's craigparshallauthor.com.
Yeah.
Lots of books on here. He has some new ones as well. He also has written some books.
Empowered.
Also written some books with his wife, Craig Parshall. It's called The Sons of, Thistle and the Cross. You've read those, right? Haven't you?
No, I actually haven't read those yet.
We have them, right, though?
Yeah, we have them, but I just haven't started on them.
Because I've seen those. I've been
mean
to read those. It's called The Thistle and the Cross. I think there's like 3 books in that series, and he does it with his wife. So it's Craig and Janet Parshall on those. I'll make sure to have a link to that website in the description here.
Right. And so the last book that I read, which actually I just finished reading, which is really good, is The Rose Conspiracy. So let me see here. This guy, the guy that's in this particular one, is called J.D. Blackstone. And so he is a attorney as well as a professor of law at a local university in Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
So what happens here is there's a Smithsonian murder. The director of the Smithsonian is brutally killed, and he is forced, representing the person who is accused of the murder.
Okay.
And so he has to get to the bottom of that, but a lot of this murder seems to be surrounded by a bunch of the Freemasonry. A lot of Freemason stuff. So he's got to get all the way to the bottom of what is at the bottom of Freemasonry. Not what's just on the top, but all the stuff going all the way back to its founding. So he's got to dig up all that stuff.
So you're
going to
get a history of the Masons as well in the book. You cover some details. Learn some details about the Freemasons.
You can learn more of the deep stuff that's actually in the Freemasons. A lot of stuff that you don't really hear about it. You'll get a better picture of what at the top level of those guys, what they kind of believe, what they're looking for.
Not just
for
what
stuff
they want the public to know, but the more in-depth things.
And
really
also, he does cite a lot of, in this book, he cites a lot of the former Freemasons who have written and stuff, and he takes a lot of that information, so it's actually from the sources, so it's not just speculation, but there's some speculation in there as well. Right. But,
Very good. Sounds like a lot of interesting books to read, so if you're on a trip somewhere, or flying on an airplane,
I'm
or
sure
you just
if they have...
have
an audio, but...
I don't know either.
Seems like not.
Or if you're like us and you're waiting out a hurricane at the time of this recording, and you need something to do other than recording your own podcast, which you can do here on Anchor, a great platform to record podcast, then you can go check out a Craig Partial book. So that's all we have for today. Thank you, Bear, for joining us. If you want to learn more about Bear, you can check him out on Instagram at The Combustion Guys. There'll be a link in the description, as well as watch his videos on cars, travel, and all kinds of other stuff he does on The Combustion Guys YouTube channel as well. He also records and produces the videos on the Ant on the Move channel. So make sure to check me out on Instagram, on YouTube. You can find me on Twitter as well. Look for One Ant on the Move. You'll find me there. And that's all we have for today. So tune in next time for the next Ant on the Move podcast. We still need some intro and outro music, Bear, so get on that. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.